in the beginning, even before starting, I would love to welcome all of you to this last session of our Brahma Vimohana Katha. I'm aware that there are devotees who have just come and joined us today, and I want to greet you affectionately. I'm also aware that by the response which I have heard from you, that you are thinking of how to apply some of the teachings in your spiritual life, and I want to say there will be a summary. It is my great request that today you give me 100% of your attention, because we will attempt to present something like a spiritual essence from this katha. You will have to wish me well, because it is not so easy. I require the mercy. There's, I believe, a verse by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami: the cow of my words wants to go to Vrindavan, but alas, my tongue is so thirsty, my tongue is so dry. So if you Vaishnavas don't sprinkle the drops of your mercy on me, the cow will not make it. It will not come all the way to Vrindavan, but will give up its journey before reaching the end. So today we really wish to go that far. And and that's only possible when the words are empowered by mercy. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyade Satarine. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yesterday we briefly described what Brahma saw when Lord Krishna decided to lift the curtain of his Yogamaya potency and show him what he had done. We remember how Krishna, Brahma had come back with feeling guilty that he had intruded into the pastimes of the Lord. And not really guilty, but a little, there was a whiff of feeling insecure and unconfident that that was the right thing. So he had returned, and lo and behold, he saw the same amount of calves and cowherd boys which he had actually abducted, kidnapped, and put to rest in some faraway place in the universe. The same amount of these were still there. And he was absolutely puzzled. he didn't know what they were and what was happening to him. He tried to sit down and invoke his power of omniscience by which he could find out any secret, but he just could not lift the curtain which was veiling the secret and felt incapable. He just started, he just gazed at the calves and the cowherd boys, the Sakas. Who are you with this question? He raced back to the hiding place, or not raced back, that's wrong to say, he somehow looked back and thought, it is like I thought it is. They are all abducted and sleeping there. But then he looked again and stared at the Sakas and the calves. Like when you want to find out if a person has a secret or what that secret is, you just look and gaze in his eyes now. And you really try to penetrate the person's mind and then find out what he's hiding from you. So Brahma gazed at the same way at the cows and the calves, and then not cows, I always say cows, that's wrong, there were only calves there, calves and the Sakas, and all of a sudden he saw that they were turning blue, then yellow, then the next thing he knew is they were all Vasudev, the worshipable Lord, but many, many Vasudevs. Then he saw how the atmosphere was filling. All living entities which he had created were worshipping Vasudev. Not one single one turned to him, their creator. They all worshipped the Lord. And he was overwhelmed as he saw the rishis, the saints of old, the different Gandharvas, human beings, and even little ants who crawled on the toes of these personalities to get some nectar from them. They're just worshipping them. He saw how the Lord was responding with orchestra of worship by smiling benevolently at his creation or at the creation, and through his smile infusing and enlivening everyone who was there with deep spiritual desires. So he saw the glance of the Lord empowering everyone and the smile of the Lord maintaining everyone. And it was really a wonderful darshan what he had. A darshan which was so overwhelming that he became stunned. He couldn't move. In before our temple in Ljubljana, there is a naked man. He stands alone since 100 years. He is made of iron. He tries to move. You can see one leg is behind one broken wall and the other leg comes before the broken wall. He tries to move. He is representing all those partisans who were slaughtered by the Nazis. It's a memorial which reminds us of these men who tried to save their country. He's made of iron. Sometimes devotees or chaste Matajis put a gamsha around his waist although that's forbidden by the memorial people, he cannot move. You can see him. He tries to get away from someone who pursues him, the Nazis, but he is fixed to one place. Brahma was in the same situation, a situation which Sukadev Goswami describes as being like dead. His senses wouldn't work any longer. He was just so overwhelmed by what he saw. Now this reminds us a little bit when Arjuna was seeing the universal form, the Aishwarya feature of Lord Krishna. He also felt totally overwhelmed. One great German theologian, Rudolf Otto, calls this divino tremores. It's when you see God, you are overwhelmed with a tremor, with a shaking, violent shaking. You are put out of function for a moment. So Krishna was watching him. Everything worked according to his lila. Brahma was now put into his place. He was treated. And he noticed how Brahma, although gazing, could not see anything any longer. He was totally beyond himself. So he withdrew within a second. His yoga maya curtain, by which he had enabled this pastime to function. At that time, Lord Brahma's external consciousness was revived. And the Bhagavatam says, Shukadev says, just like a dead man rises from his dead condition, he stood up and rubbed his eyes. Then he looked around and with great, he's exactly 10 minutes too early, but I asked him to cry 10 minutes later. Then he looked around and with great difficulty could see the divine Vrindavan lying before him. We had heard that Krishna had deconstructed his pride mentality. He had been overwhelmed by seeing the Lord's potencies, which were so much greater than his puny little creator magic. And now he has eyes to see. And would you like to know how he saw Vrindavan? Because this will help you to also see Vrindavan in the right way. Yatra nisagadu vaira sahasanri migadaya mitra nivajita vasa drutaruta shakadikam. Vrindavan is the transcendental abode of the Lord, where there is no hunger, anger or thirst. Though naturally inimical, both human beings and fierce animals live there together in transcendental friendship. Let us mark this, living together in transcendental friendship or without malice or envy towards each other. Tigers and deers, there in Vrindavan are not hating each other, not fearing each other. Prabhupada writes about this very realized purport, which does instruct us how to create a Vrindavan atmosphere. He says, "We are afraid of the forest and do not wish to go there. But in Vrindavan, the forest animals are as good as demigods, for they have no envy." You know, why do you feel well with others? You feel well with others when there is no envious competition spirit. I want to be better than you. Envy destroys everything, and envy develops, says Prabhupada, because of the desire for sense gratification. But in Vrindavan, everyone wants to serve Krishna only in a different capacity. And thus in Vrindavan, there is no envy. Though Prabhupada addresses a possible doubt which might be there in our mind, one may sometimes think that the monkeys in Vrindavan are envious because they cause mischief and steal food from the rooms in the Bal Krishna ashram. Oh, sorry, that's an interpolation. There is no Bal Krishna ashram there. You may think, but what with these monkeys? They are certainly... You must know, when Prabhupada uses the word envy, he means it a little different than the Western people. It just means a bad intention. Everything which is done with a bad intention falls in that category of envy. So he says, one may sometimes think that the monkeys in Vrindavan are envious because they cause mischief and steal food. But in Vrindavan we find that the monkeys are allowed to take butter, which Krishna himself distributes. Krishna personally demonstrates that everyone has the right to live. Please listen to this. It's such a powerful instruction. This is Vrindavan life. Why should I live and you die? No, that is material life. I think in an extended way, this is an instruction to us. Why should only my way be the right way, and your way, which is different from my way, why should I hate you because of this and be envious on you? Now, why should I deny you the right to live and be envious towards you? That is material life. The inhabitants of Vrindavan think, whatever is given by Krishna, let us divide it as prasad and eat. This, and then Prabhupada maybe looks towards us who are sometimes plagued by envy, which arises like an ugly snake from the basket. You know, they have the snake shamas have these baskets, and they lift the basket thing and then it comes out. So we also have envy in our heart, and it very often arises towards each other. It can often cause mischief in the society of devotees. No? So Prabhupada says this non-envious mentality, this mentality cannot appear all of a sudden, but it will gradually develop with Krishna consciousness. By sadhana, one can come to this platform. So Vrindavan sees this Brahma, whose vision has now been corrected, sees this Vrindavan, the transcendental Vrindavan, free from all envy, you know, centered on Krishna, where everyone thinks whatever comes is given by Krishna. Let us accept it, and let us not exclude anyone else from his mercy. Let us divide it and distribute it as Krishna Prasad. This can be something we all can aim for, to develop this mentality, this magnanimous mentality, and free ourselves from the ugly coils of envy, which like a snake enwraps our heart or makes an envelope around our heart, and in this way makes us Kanishta Adhikaris, beginners in spiritual life, who are plagued by great discomfort when they see someone next to them prospering and going upwards and moving, or we're always suspicious of each other, doubtful of each other, and so on. Vrindavan consciousness. Brahma saw this. And then he saw something else, which is very, very sweet. He saw the Lord standing before him. He stood alone, just like before, with a morsel of food in his hand. He didn't let go of this food. It was still there. He had assumed the role of a child in a family of cowherd men, and was searching everywhere for his friends and the cows. Now Shukadev Goswami very deliberately uses one word for Krishna. You know, he had accepted the role of a child in the family of cowherd boys. He says Natyam. As an Natya means like an actor assumes a role. You must know this is Leela. It is the Lord just acts out his sublime desires, which are always having one purpose, to increase the love amongst his devotees. There is a very nice little Leela which I would like to describe to you about involving Shiva and Parvati. Shiva and Parvati had visited the great saint Agastya Rishi and listened to Ram Katha. And after it was finished, they went back home to Mountain Kailash, which is now in Tibet. Huh? And on their way, they passed through the jungle of Panchavati, for a jungle. And there, from in the distance, they saw Lord Rama. Sita had just been kidnapped by Ravan, and Rama was in a state of utmost distress. He was beating his chest, he was wailing like an ordinary prince who has lost his beloved princess. He was embracing trees and asking them for the charity of an information. Where has Sita gone? Where is she now? So Parvati saw all this, and the next thing she sees is Lord Shiva bowing down from the distance and making his most humble obeisances. And Parvati is doubtful. She doubts, what is wrong with my husband? He's Shiva. He shouldn't bow down before an ordinary human being. You can see the son of Dasharath is an ordinary person who just loses his composure upon the loss of his wife. And she remains standing. Now Shiva notices this when he comes up. Jai Gopal, what would you do when you fall down, moved with great transcendental emotion, and your wife stands there? You would feel, let me inform my good wife about something she may not have understood in her spiritual life. So Shiva said to Parvati, you must know the Lord appeared as his Leela, as a human being, because Ravan, the greatest demon ever born had the blessings that had asked for blessings that no being could ever kill him. And having these blessings that no one could kill him, he went around the universe and caused the biggest terror. He had asked the blessing that no Gandhava can kill him, no Devata can kill him, no Kinara, no this, no that. But he thought he doesn't need to ask for the blessing that no human being could kill him, because he thought that humans are so insignificant. I mean, I'm certainly much stronger than any strong person or strong Kshatriya amongst the humans. So he thought it was beneath him to ask for this type of blessing. And the Lord, knowing this, took the form, because he wanted to respect the blessings which were given, took deliberately the form of a human being. But he is not limited like a human being. Parvati remained, "You can say anything, I don't believe it." I saw him crying, really like a love-smitten ordinary person from any street of any village. You know, this you are sometimes a little bit too ecstatic. So then Shiva said to Parvati, "If you don't believe me, then test him." So we have heard about the test of Brahma and what happened, how Brahma could see, I'm like the glowworm before the sun. Krishna has just expanded himself in all these Vasudeva forms and taken on the form of the calves and the boys which I have kidnapped. So listen what happened when Parvati tested Ram. It's always highly problematic when a lesser person with lesser powers tests a greater person with greater powers. And you will see how Parvati bites on granite in a second. Parvati decided to approach Lord Rama, but she changed her form into that of Sita. And she saw, now Ram will come running at me, totally euphoric. I've just momentarily lost my princess, and here she is back again. And he will try to embrace me, and I turn back into Parvati, and he will be embarrassed. So she came as Sita, walking very confidentially towards Rama. Rama paid his respects like this and said, "Oh, Mother Parvati is here in this forest. What are you doing alone in the forest? Where's your husband? What is in your mind? Now, we thought you are a chaste lady, but you are alone?" Those who are born in an Indian context will know what this makes any woman uncomfortable, this type of address in India. So at this moment, Parvati saw before her own eyes Sita Devi next to Ram, then Lakshman next to him, then she saw all the devatas, rishis, saints paying their most humble obeisances to Ram, and then he saw millions of Rams, millions of Sitas, millions and more of Lakshman. Everyone was there. And she saw, "I tested the Lord. What fool I am." And she quickly turned around and ran back to where Shiva was. she paid her obeisances and then quickly ran back. Shiva said, "Hey, Are, Parvati, what happened? Let's go, let's go. We are too long away from Kailash. I need to take care of some household duties. Let us quickly leave this forest, please." What have you done? What has happened? Nothing, 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 nothing. So Shiva sat down in meditation and could see the whole scene. How Parvati had tried to test Lord Ram and how Lord Ram had shown who he really is. How he had given Parvati a glimpse in his Aishwarya, his divine opulence which only God has and no human being has. And Parvati and Shiva just smiled. "Oh, Parvati, there are many things which you yet have to learn." So this is Natyam. Natyam, Leela means an activity where the Lord takes on a role. Most when he is here in Braj, we heard yesterday from Jagatarini, the Lord really forgets himself in that role. He doesn't think, "Oh, I'm just play acting this." No, he is totally living all of this and experiencing all of this, which is a symphony of love, of the ever changing great orchestra of divine love. So the Lord was now like this. He knew what Brahma had done, but he had something in mind. He wanted to open the eyes of Brahma for Braj Bhakti. So he was there as a little child. Where are the children? He had, where are my sakas? He had his handful of sweet rice with or this yogurt and rice and some fruits. And he was really playing like this. When Lord Brahma, however, who now knew, saw Krishna in this form acting out his Leela, Natyam, he hastily got down from his swan carrier and went into the dust of Vrindavan. You must know one thing. Devatas never ever touch the ground of this planet. They just don't do it. It's beneath them. Planet Earth is not for devatas. They live in the higher regions and they don't touch with their feet. But Brahma hastily got down from his swan. The swan thought, "What is happening to my master?" And he just got down. He first thought, "Krishna will now punish me for my offense with a danda." But then when he saw that the Lord just acted so sweetly, so absolutely enchanting, and so you know, alone in the forest, where are my boys? So super sweet. He just thought, "He's not punishing me. I know who he is. Let me punish myself instead." And he threw himself. Shukadev Goswami said he looked like a golden stick into the dust of Braj. He didn't just go down, you know, like we go down when we do Dandavat. The real meaning of Dandavat is you just fall down. Zhup. I mean, the old men amongst us will break all their bones, so they should do a healthy Dandavat. But those who of you who are young practice, you know, it is possible. Boom! It means it is a gesture of, you know, humbling yourself before a vastly superior. No? That's the right way. He dropped his body down very hard. His desire was to offer full obeisances. But there was a difficulty which Shiva Goswami explains. He has four heads. So when two heads touched the ground, two looked up and looked a little awkward. Thus he could not offer respects with all of his heads, which should have been done because of an anatomical speciality. This troubled him because three heads, were still raised upwards, and he wanted to show, no, I'm throwing myself totally down before you. But nevertheless, he attained bliss because these heads which were not down could see Krishna standing there. The second reason why Brahma couldn't really complete his plan to offer a very hard dandavat was that he absolutely did not want to hurt the butter-soft feet of Lord Krishna. You know, he had hard metallic crowns on his head, golden crowns. So what he did is, he didn't want to put the metal on the Lord's lotus feet. He made a little distance between the lotus feet and the Lord and offered his crowns instead on the footprints of Lord Krishna and the dust of Braj. The effulgence of his crown, just see this picture before your eyes, rushed forward and touched another effulgence. What is the other effulgence? You know everything. You have observed Jagatarini's lecture very nicely. She had explained the effulgence of the toenails of Lord Krishna. And there was an effulgence meeting, a meeting of effulgence. And the Lord looked there, and now his face took a solemn means something like serious expression. As Brahma looked, was in this position, finally they came. What came is so absolutely important to all of our spiritual life, that without this precious ornament, you will never be able to see Krishna. Finally, beautiful tears were able to run out of his 4 × 2, 8 eyes. Only when a devotee comes to the stage of crying for Krishna will something happen in his spiritual life. And this is a bold statement, and it needs ample reference from the Shastras. They will come in a moment. But stay with the scene. The Lord, like a child, very sweet, around 5 years, his locks of hair there, his eyes which always move, which are a little reddish in the corner, it's like a little boy. What is he doing there? Looks at this. In the temple, Lord Krishna is worshipped with the ritual baths, the abhishekas. Usually water is fetched from the 7 oceans, either physically or by mantra, and then poured over him. Some of the water is jeweled water. But I asked you, which water does Krishna appreciate the most? It's the tears of repentance and separations from his devotees. Because these tears are pure tears. Our tears in this world are not pure because they are tears of self-pity. Oh, why did it happen to me? But tears for Krishna is the pure tears of the awakening soul. Prabhupada writes about these tears in his Bhagavatam commentary. The word sujalai, jala means water, and su means very good water, indicates that Brahma's tears were purified. As soon as bhakti is present, everything is purified. Brahma's crying was bhaktyanena bhava, a transcendental form of transcendental ecstatic love. My dear devotees, these tears enabled Brahma to see what he could not see before. Lord Krishna, the ultimate form of the personality of Godhead, the form, the prema rupa, the form of the ultimate manifestation of the Lord. Only eyes which are cleansed by these tears can see this. Bhakti yoga means to develop, to come to the stage of tears. Brindavan Das Thakur gives this definition of bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga, bhakti yoga, bhakti yoga. I have to turn to Madhavananda, whom I have heard this verse reciting, because it's a... Can you please tell this verse loudly? Krandan, crying. The wealth, dana, of bhakti yoga is very rare. It is there in your heart when you start crying, proud man and proud woman. Bhakti yoga is the greatest treasure. Bhakti yoga means crying while remembering Krishna's name. Krishna says in Adi Purana, in a very intimate discussion with his devotee Arjuna, "You must know, Arjuna, I'm purchased by those who sing my names and cry while they do this in front of me. I'm not purchased by anything else." Srila Prabhupada writes that these tears will come to a devotee with the realization that you see your own efforts won't work. You must take shelter with Krishna. He says, Prabhupada says, devotees having no shelter other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead naturally cry to him for help, exactly like children who do not know anything but the protection of their parents. At this stage, the little boy should cry, but he has cried earlier. He couldn't wait. The boy, did you hear? Initially, he was crying. Most probably, it was not such a tragedy. Maybe his cap had fallen down from his head, and so on. But he knows, I have no other shelter than mother. Or maybe there was a monkey looking through the open door at the boy and went, the boy cried, because he knows there is no other shelter. Why do you have so many other shelters and cry at other shelters? This won't work. You have to come to the stage and knowing this is my ultimate shelter. You might say, oh, this is too much what we hear. We are men, we never cry. Let the women, this class is good for the women. This is not good for me. But Srila Prabhupada did encourage crying for Krishna. He said, this is in a letter, but it's to Mataji, it's to Janaki Jackson. But man, you won't escape me. Can you listen now? Please don't laugh. Listen. Tears for Krishna are as good as associating personally with him. Your feelings and tears of Krishna consciousness will make you more enriched in spiritual advancement. And to dispel all doubts, even amongst the anyone here, Prabhupada in Nectar of Devotion, chapter 9, writes a startling passage where he encourages us to learn how to cry. Are you ready to listen? One should feelingly pray and become eager to render his particular type of service to the Lord. This is the teachings of all great devotees, especially Lord Chaitanya. In other words, in case someone doesn't get it, in other words, one should learn how to cry for the Lord. One should learn this small technique, and he should be very eager and actually, not metaphorically, and actually cry to become engaged in some particular type of service. This is called lolya, and such tears are the price for the highest perfection.
Look at this.
Please look at this. This is an eye. With the eye, we do what? We see and perceive. A proper eye needs one thing to protect it and another thing to clear its vision. It needs an eyelid to protect it. That's here. And it needs a special, what are these things called, please? It's a gland, I believe. Tear gland. Tränendrüse. Is it here? Well, it's implied. Here. It's a Tränendrüse. It's a tear gland for washing the dirt away. An eye who doesn't have an eyelid, let us say, speak of a material eye, except for the fish eye, who doesn't see very good, by the way, who doesn't have an eyelid to protect it and is not able to cry, will die. And the person who has such a useless eye will cry in its, will die in its, in his infant state. He won't even experience life, because a baby who can't cry is lost. Who can't call out to his mother will not be able to handle the challenges of baby life easily. It can't grow. It will just die. So in the same way, you do need an eyelid and a tear gland. The eyelid is humility. It protects your eye, your life and your eye. You know a banana? When you peel away the protective banana peel, there will be millions of little flies who eat the banana away. Try it in your room. You will not believe from where these flies come, but they come. This happens to your spiritual life also. If you're not humble, if you are not protected with a peel of humility, my dear devotees, you can be Lord Brahma, who was prideful. You will not make it. You can have all the qualifications which Lord Brahma had, the creator, omniscient, the highest guru, head of a parampara, Brahma's sampradaya. No? If there is not the protective eyelid of humility, It doesn't work. Little flies of so many things, will come. Greed will come, lust will come, arrogance will come, anger will come, will eat everything away. And if you further on don't learn to have that eagerness in relationship to Krishna, eagerness to the point of crying, then you will not make it. That's the price you have to pay. One of my godbrothers who has left his body said once to me, Sachinandan Swami, if you want to get out of this world, crawl on your belly, be humble, with tears in your eyes. That's my advice to you. Crawl on your belly. Bow down, mister. Bow down, sister. And with tears in your eyes, you must come to this position. And we see how in the most tactful way, Lord Krishna, who dealt so expertly with Brahma, brought him down from his swan carrier. He fell down, pang, in the dust of Braj. And now Brahma is ready. He cries the most beautiful tears. This pastime happened at a place which is situated halfway between the temple of Haridev and Manasa Gangi. It is now, there is a little kund, it's called Brahma Kund, which now is unfortunately in disrepair and is not full of tears but full of garbage. But it was a kund which came from the tears of Brahma. I mean, can you now understand how much Brahma cried to build a little lake? First you have to cry like anything, then all the water sinks into the ground and builds some groundwater, foundation, and then he cried on top of it the same amount, and then it became a kund. That's what, my dear devotees, that was a good amount of tears, which he cried. Now, the presiding deity of Manasa Ganga, who is one of the four goddesses of Braj, is Manasi Devi, is residing there. Manasi Devi is one form of Yoga Maya. All the demigods followed their great guru, Brahma, and their creator, and headed by Indra, they built their own kunds around. There's an Indra kund around, a Yamaraj kund, a Varuna kund, a Kuvera kund, and they came and also bathed Lord Krishna. They understood, my God, our guru is going down, the Lord has taught him, and they also followed. It is said, merely seeing Yoga Maya there frees one from all sins. Devotees who have offended Krishna go often to this kund, sit there and cry tears of repentance. My dear devotees, we have to understand one thing. Maya, the material energy, is so powerful. She covers us so much with the material elements and so on, that no one of us stands a chance before Maya is removed. And this Maya covering is only removed with pure tears. Your tears will wash away Maya. Your tears of intense longing to Krishna as your only shelter. And everything in life in devotional life. Everything which happens in the story of your life, if you learn to read the story with intelligence, the story of your life, the failures, the disappointments, is meant to bring you to that point where you don't cry any longer before your wife, where you don't cry any longer before your university professor who gave you bad marks and let you slip the exam. It happens when you learn to take ashraya, full ashraya or shelter, at the lotus feet of Krishna. I like this scene very much. This scene of... Oops! Sorry, nothing happened. Don't be shocked. Shukadev Goswami gives it so much importance. I mean, he talks precisely, but he uses three verses to describe the meltdown of Brahma. You all, your ego also needs to melt down. There's a very beautiful verses here. Offering his obeisances, he bathed the feet of Krishna with the water of his tears of joy. You know, it's joyful to cry for Krishna. It will not make you mental and depressed and another victim of one other ignorant psychological therapeut. It will really help you, these type of... Shukadev Goswami is so enthusiastic. He really zeroes on in this scene. He says, rising and falling again and again at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, for a long, long time, Lord Brahma remembered over and over the Lord's greatness he had just seen. Why didn't he just get down and stay down? Well, Brahma thought, I'm now lying and one of my heads cannot see the sweetness of Krishna. So he got up because he wanted to see Krishna to his full satisfaction. But as he stood again before Krishna, he thought, my God, what did I just do? And again, pang, he fell down. Then he thought, now I'm down, I don't see so much, I want to see Krishna, he's so sweet. And jups, he got up again. And again, look, full satisfaction. Oh no, what did I do to this sweet Lord? Pang, he got down. For a long time, you know, it was a scene of ecstasy pure. Brahma was falling down in ecstasy, writes Prabhupada. Because of the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who exactly resembled a human child, Brahma was naturally astonished. He couldn't believe what he had just seen. But by Krishna's mercy, he remembered it. It stayed in him. The Lord just... what he just did. This Lord here, I can't believe. He's so small. But he did it. He expanded himself into millions of forms, and they were all Vasudev. Krishna, you're so good. I think... and like this. Then... rising very gradually and wiping his two eyes, Lord Brahma looked up at Mukunda. Lord Brahma, his head bent low, his mind concentrated, and his body trembling, shaking, very humbly began with faltering words to offer praises to Lord Krishna. He's cured. He wipes his two eyes. And then he notices he had other eyes. I guess he is expert to deal with his vicious superhuman appearance. So he is in ecstasy. He is there not standing, because that would not be the right position in which he would feel comfortable. He is kneeling down. He says he sees his Lord under a kalpa vriksha tree, standing, looking very serious. And he talks these beautiful prayers. I will just tell you one of the prayers that will take a lot of time, because we hear Brahma concentrated his mind fully. These were good prayers. He's very intelligent, very good prayers. He said, "Would you like to hear a prayer?" They are very famous and good reading material. There's one prayer which happens to be my emergency, my SOS prayer. It's very famous and it's a beloved prayer amongst the devotees. Prabhupada says it's the guideline of all devotees. No? "One who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, while patiently suffering the reactions of his past karma, and always serving you with body, mind and heart, will definitely inherit your eternal abode." You will go there to Krishna. That's one way to translate this. So, let the karma come. We all living in this world, some karmas are still rolling over us. And we, older devotees, hear from younger devotees the karmas, and they are sometimes mind-boggling, some karmic reactions from previous activities. But while all this goes on, these waves of karma roll over you, patiently wait for Krishna's mercy. And glorify Krishna with your body by making obeisances to him, with your words by chanting his names and his glories, and with your mind by thinking of him and not forgetting him. This is the way how to behave in this world. Brahma gives a guideline to all devotees. And if you do that, even if you are still experiencing so much disturbing karma, you will be going back Krishna. There's another very famous prayer where Brahma makes a Lebensentwurf. Lebensentwurf means what he would like his life to be in the future. He says, "My greatest possible good fortune would be to drive a German car." Just checking if you are attentive. "My greatest possible good fortune would be to take any birth, preferably in America." No, wrong. "My greatest possible good fortune would be to take any birth, whatever, in this forest of Gokula, here in Vrindavan, and have my head based by the dust falling from the lotus feet of any of its residents." It doesn't have to be the gopis or the highest, the parents of Krishna. Anyone, even an ant, is special here. The life of the residents here, their entire life and soul is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Mukunda, the dust of whose lotus feet is still searched for in the Vedic mantras. Now, as he was praying, Krishna, as this little boy, was thinking, where did this four-headed Brahma come from? What is he doing here? What are all these words he's speaking to me? I'm busy looking for my calves, bus. I'm just a coward boy and do not understand all this. So he was very serious. What is all this? But all of a sudden, Krishna broke out into a blissful smile. A smile which which makes him so sweet. He had watched something amazing. When one mouth of Brahma spoke the prayer, all the other three mouths spoke in unison. You know, and it looked like, imagine we put Jai Gopal here, he speaks something, and Ananda Chaitanya's mouth speaks the same thing, and Radhika's mouth speaks the same thing, and Subhadra's mouth speaks the same thing, all in one, you know. Almost, I wanted to do this, but it looked so... Krishna went like... and laughed, because a little boy is highly enthused by seeing such a display. They looked like automatically moved mouth, like mouth of a marionette, a puppet on a string, you know. And so Krishna just laughed. So Brahma began to feel ill at ease, you know. He felt, this place is too high for me. You know, like we say in ISKCON, this is too high for me, no? And he felt ill at ease, you know, this is a little bit too advanced for me. And he begged Lord Krishna for permission to leave. He thought, I have seen Braj Bhakti, but I'm really not qualified for this, you know. But before he went, he just took his mystic potencies and just glanced in the directions of the boys and the calves. And just by his glance, he glanced them back. Why didn't he go personally with his body? Do you know? It takes a long, would take too long. Much too long, you know. So he just, he is Brahma. Now, but when Krishna saw the cowherd boys, he didn't feel any pleasure. Do you know why he was not celebrating the arrival of the cowherd boys? They were mayic expansions, I heard someone of you telling. They were not, Gaurahari, I heard you say, they were not the real ones. Where were the real ones then? And the banks of the Jamuna, they were there in a certain pocket of Braj, we could say, and Krishna had interacted with them. This is explained very beautifully by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who describes this. Krishna knew exactly where the real ones were, at the banks of the Yamuna. So he was not so, he didn't pay so much attention. After granting his son Brahma permission to leave, Krishna returned to his cowherd boyfriends, who in some ways had passed an entire year apart from him. But because Lord's Yogamaya had covered them, they considered half a year, half a moment in that time. They greeted him affectionately. Oh! So I had said Krishna was with them. That was not right. But they experienced, they were just there somehow. And by the Yogamaya potency, this long year appeared to them half a second. So Krishna, when Krishna returned, they said, "Oh, you have returned so quickly. We have not eaten even one morsel of food in your absence. We waited for you. Please come now here and sit with us and take your meal without any distraction." Lord Krishna now smiled, his happy smile. In the association with Brahma, he had just only shown a humorous smile. You know, it was humorous for him to see everyone. But now he was blooming forth, Braj Bhakti, pure. And he sat down amongst his associates. And as if nothing had happened, they ate. And then they danced their way to Vrindavan to the captivating sound of Krishna's flute. You're playing so nice. No, you also play very nice. And they were praising and dancing and skipping their ways. The Lord Krishna's feet left footprints. Was happy. But there was one last thing which needed to be done. Balaram had stayed home. When they came, Krishna again took Balaram. And the two brothers had a discussion. Balaram is still, he was not angry at Krishna, but a little sad because of having been separated from his boyfriends. So Krishna said, Brahma stole our calves and cowherd boyfriends, put them to sleep in a cave and then disappeared for a year of the earthly time. I then expanded myself into replicas of the cowherd boys and calves and maintained this for an entire year. When Brahma returned to see how I had reacted to his mischief, he was shocked to find out that one set of boys and calves were still playing with me while another was lying in mystic slumber. He did not know that neither ones were the real ones. But why did you deceive me, your older brother? Krishna answered, on the day I went out, you could not come with me. Remember? Only a message arrived from you. O brother, it is my birthday. My maternal uncle has come to see me. He is rooted in my room like a tree. Please fulfill your desire without me today. And that I did. Krishna, wonderful Krishna. Wonderful Krishna. Inconceivable will see Krishna ki. Now I would like to close all this and make some main points. I will get a little bit on your nerves. Fasten your seatbelts, please. I would like to make highlight main points from this to take home. You will have to listen again, please, very carefully, because you will do an active exercise, which leads into another one. A main point is Krishna protects his devotees. Our Bhaktivinoda Thakur is so ecstatic about this leela that he has composed in his Sharanagati composition a very nice song. He says, my dear Lord, please keep me as your property. Maintain me and keep me just like you maintained and kept one of your protected calves. He says, Chaturana Karaba Java Chori Raksha Karabi Moye Gokulahari. When Brahma will abduct me, you will rescue me, O Lord of Gokul. This is a meditation of the devotees. When something happens to you, when you are abducted or removed from your Krishna consciousness, the Lord will come and protect you if you have practiced Sharanagati and surrender. But there are many other lessons, but time runs out. I would like to go to this one. If you forget everything, please remember this one. Brahma could only see Lord Krishna and solve his existential dilemma of really turning away from Krishna. when he developed a position of humility, that is, he bowed down, Mister. You know, he was so eager, he rushed down from his swan carrier, bang. And that humility is the protection which we all need. And Brahma needed to cry. This humility, my dear devotees, is nothing else than a vision of the reality. A person who is not humble is simply not real in contact with reality. He is out of touch with reality. A devotee who has not learned humility is really approaching the position of a devotee. He is a new devotee, a Kanishta Adhikari. Listen what Brahma said. This was pointed out to me by one very wonderful sannyasi friend. He said, "What am I?" He said, "A small creature measuring 7 spans of my own hand. What am I? I am enclosed in a pot-like small universe composed of material nature, the total material energy, false ego, ether, air, water and earth. And on the other hand, what is your glory? Unlimited universes pass through the pores of your body, just as particles of dust pass through the mosquito net of a screened window." No? In the same way, you should pray like this: "What am I? A fallen soul of this world. I'm not very learned, although I sometimes think I am. I am not very qualified, although I sometimes think I am. I am not very big in anything except in illusion. There I'm very big. Well, good. I'm very big in. And who are you, on the other hand, whom I'm trying to serve, whose name I'm trying to pronounce?" And when you have this tension, there's a lot, and there is a little incompeep like me, an incompetent person like me, you know. Then bhakti can come. Bhakti can jump forward. Otherwise, it won't come. Remember, this tension between seeing your disqualification on one hand and then seeing the overwhelming qualities of Krishna, his mercy, and so on the other hand, that inner tension will bring tears, but not these acidic tears. It will be pure tears, tears which will wash away the dirt of material existence, which will wash away the Maya covering. Prabhupada says we should learn this little art. And I will close by bringing to your attention our Prayojana Acharya, Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami had struggled very hard until he obtained Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's association. You all have heard about his different attempts to escape his previous life, which he considered to be like a prison life where he was chained. He couldn't really move. His years with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri passed like fleeting moments. And then the greatest shock happened. His Lord, whom he had worshipped, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, departed from this world. This was such a strike to soft-hearted Raghunath Das Goswami that he decided to go to Braj, where he wanted to take his life by jumping from Giriraj's higher peaks. and thus committing suicide. Now, Rup and Sanatan found him and they convinced him very hard that, no, here's Radharani. Radharani, the queen of Vrindavan, is extremely merciful. She is Kripamayi, inside and outside, full of mercy. Now, one devotee needs to hear with big ears. She is Kripamayi, inside and outside, full of mercy. You do one thing. You don't jump from, you give up the old plan, and instead you reside at her own lake, Radhakund. You stay there and you do your bhajan. So Raghunath Goswami had faith in the instructions of Rupa and Sanatan and did an amazing bhajan. I think we all are moved to hear that he chanted, I believe, 2 lakhs each day. 2 lakhs, I remember. And he did Dandavat Parikrama, says Prabhupada, around Giriraj Govardhan. He paid obeisances to 2,000 Vaishnavas each day. You know, bow down, mister. You know, humility needs to be there. He wrote books. And he did have occasionally what is called a spurti, that is a momentarily realization. Radha Rani, in other words, appeared to him, but then disappeared. Towards the end of his life, he sat down to write one composition. It's called Vilap Kusho Manjali. And there, he says that he cannot be satisfied any longer with this amount of mercy which Radha gave him. He says, O Radha, I cannot tolerate the pangs, the pain in my heart. I have somehow spent my time here, aspiring after oceans of nectar. But if you are not merciful to me, then what use are Krishna, living in Braj, and even life itself? I need your full mercy now. I'm old. In 1 or 2 days, or 1 or 2, in a short time I will die. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, when he was in the company of very intimate disciples, would quote this verse of Raghunath Goswami. And overwhelmed by spiritual emotions, his complexion would turn pale and he would cry and cry and cry. If you don't show me your mercy, he would go into this mood. If you don't show me your mercy, this intense eagerness which began to come up and up in his heart, he would become pale. He would cry. And sometimes he said that the inner meaning of his name, Shivasha Banavi Devi Daita Das, servant of Radharani, was disclosed in the 2 last lines of this shloka. O Radha, if you are not merciful to me, then of what use are Krishna, Braja, and even life itself? Raghunath Das Goswami openly speaks his heart, I need your mercy. I need your shelter. I need you, Radharani. I'm overwhelmed with so many things. Now old age is also there. I need you so much. If you don't take me, what is the use of all of this? Well, I'm trying and trying. I'm living here. I'm doing everything. He would cry like this. And his crying was so moving that even stones would melt upon hearing. Then, this is at the closure of this work, He says, "O merciful girl, O Radha, if you do not give your great mercy to suffering me, then what will all these lamentations and this long time of service to your lake have accomplished?" So, my dear devotees, this is what the Lord wants to see. The Lord wants to see that you become a little eager. This compromised forms of Krishna consciousness, which we often do in the West, you know, a mix of our attachment and some fickle-minded sadhana with a mind which goes always through the shopping list on internet. This won't bring you very far. It's better than nothing. Yes, yes, yes. Better than nothing. But the nectar of life for which you have come, the ecstasy will come when you start this eagerness. And this eagerness, you can learn this eagerness by something which is very, very necessary to understand. You need to surrender to the form in which the Lord has chosen to come to you, that is His holy names. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur speaks about devotees who have understood where they direct their eagerness. He says, Krishna Nami Anurag Tohoibe Habe. When attachment to the holy name of Krishna resides in the heart, a living being's life very easily becomes successful. But without affection for Krishna, life is simply a waste, useless. You know everything. Let us not waste our life. Let us try to take the jewels from our Govardhana retreat with us into our life and do something about our spiritual development. I would like you now to turn to your neighbor, and there will be a very important session. If you don't find just one neighbor, you can sit and talk with the three of you, three or four of you, and I will wait for you until you have found someone. Don't think, oh, now comes all this new age thing. No, no, it's very important. You will share with devotees now something. I would like you now to reflect a little bit what you have heard about the Leela. It can be explained in two sentences. Krishna is tested by Brahma, who abducts his cowherd boys and calves. And Krishna, fulfilling his own agenda or motivation, expends himself to have personally very loving relationships for 1 year with his mothers, with all the mothers of Braj, the calves, even the cowherd men, you know. And then Brahma comes back and sees if his examination of Krishna worked to the negative point, that Krishna really is not God but a human being, or if maybe something works, and he is then brought down from his swan carrier by Krishna's actions, and he bows down with tears in his eyes and can see Vrindavan for the first time and see Krishna for the first time as he is the Lord of Braj. So this is a simple Leela, but what has struck you in this Leela? Imagine someone is there who was not here. Your partner is that person and wants to know, what was this katha all about? Was there something which struck you? I know the Brahma Vimohana Leela about 20 times. It must have been terribly boring for you to hear it again. And then you say, no, I learned something new. What is that point you learned new and which you want to share now with that person who has asked you? Please start now. We have about 7 to 10 minutes for this. For the closure of our session, I request you to now turn towards Giriraj. We will sing together please let us remember the excellent class of His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj, who yesterday said to us or enlightened us on the point that Haridasa Vayo is the servant of Krishna, sometimes mercifuller than Krishna. And please take the chance to appeal to Giriraj. After all, we wish also to get mercy here. That's why we are in this spot. And confidentially reveal your mind and ask for help. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. A little louder, please. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Krishna, thank you very much for attending this katha. It was a privilege to be able to talk about this amongst devotees, and you were really a very inspiring audience with full support. So many, for me, as I've done this now the second time, one was in Serbia, and the second time is here. I had prepared the presentation for the Govardhan retreat and tried it out in Serbia. I did make a trial run there. We had called our summer camp, we had put this motto over it, always in Vrindavan, and the speakers spoke in their lectures about Vrindavan-related topics. At that time, this parrot also appeared. He's made from chapati dough, I think I told you, representing Shukadev Goswami. But I really must say, not surprisingly, this atmosphere here at the site of Giriraj Maharaj has so much given to me so much, let me say, inspirations and also insights into some essential principles within this Leela. I always feel that the Leelas of the Lord have so many dimensions, but it is only by mercy that one can discover these dimensions. I do owe a large, not a load of gratitude, but a large amount of gratitude to His Holiness Radha Govinda Maharaj. I did hear a translation of his wonderful explanations to this Leela. Also, other devotees like His Holiness Dhanodhara Maharaj have analyzed the purpose of Srila Prabhupada very nicely and helped significantly. And also, you as an audience have by being willing to listen to this and absorb it, just help to see this. You must know that in Krishna Leela there are always different layers or dimensions. One is just the Leela, but then this comes the Leela as it refers to us, the devotees here in this world. And my emphasis in talking this time about it was to discuss it with this perspective. What can we learn from it? And if you should forget everything, which is possible if the Mohana energy, the Avaranatmika Shakti is also there, please remember this painting, which was actually made by Picasso, and we stole it from a gallery. No, I'm joking. It's a very quickly made illustration. We do need the eyelid of humility if we ever want to see something in Krishna consciousness, which protects us from these flies, you know, which eat everything away. Pride is one of the big fly. Just like the banana needs its banana peel. And we also do need an eagerness, an intenseness of hankering, which represents really the crying function of the eye. This is so important that one of my godbrothers called his temple a crying school. Imagine, school. He took it literally when Prabhupada said one should learn the simple art of crying. Okay, he was also acting as a school teacher before his sannyas days. So he thought, let me open a school now, a crying school where this art is learned. Obviously, this is not learned. This crying, we don't want any false tears, like taking pepper and rubbing them in the eyes. That's very simple to do. Or going to an actor's school where we somehow can put some buttons and then the tears start rolling. We want to actually increase our desire for Krishna. And I really want to say one thing. This desiring for Krishna as He is, the Braj Krishna, for that, please do come again and again at the site of Giriraj. You will see, after three times coming or twice, two times coming, more coming, you will see something moves in your heart. Your conceptions begin to shift. And it becomes, Krishna becomes just easily understandable. You know, Krishna is not so easy to understand. And one bona fide Vaishnav Sampradaya, the Madhvas have a big problem with this Leela. They think that the head of our parampara, Lord Brahma, can't be an illusion. I mean, what do you do with a guru who is an illusion? used to be given up, you know, that can't be done. So they think this is not, because they are not so much aiming for this Braj Bhakti in their lives. They have another concept of God, and therefore it's very difficult for them to understand that this is enhancing Brahma's qualifications. We know that he is the dear son of Krishna, and Krishna wanted him to understand all this, and therefore he corrected him in this loving way, and not in any other way. He could easily work his superior Aishwarya potencies on Brahma, and like this convinced him like this that he is the Lord, but. And so on. It remains a difficult subject. It is Vraj Bhakti is a secret revealed to those who really have great eagerness to have it. And you should desire Vraj Bhakti, because Gauranga Mahaprabhu is preaching that the love of the residents of Vrindavan is the highest. It's a highest form of loving exchange, which does fulfill the need of the soul for offering love and giving love. So I thank you very much. I wish you a wonderful good time. There are two technical announcements which need to be made. One very dear God sister, Sukavaha, who will make herself visible if she is here. So please get up, Sukavaha. This is Sukavaha, a very nice Prabhupada disciple, has written a very nice book on Vaishnava relationships, which she will make available on the table for you. As you exit, there will be a table. It's a very practical way of overcoming the things which stand in the way. That's one announcement. Another announcement is there is no katha without prasadam distribution successful. So Ranshaw will stand at the exit, and he has prasadam from Sriji, Radharani, which just arrived today, but still it is covered with silver, the prasadam. It's really amazing prasadam. So you please collect your personal mercy piece from Srimati Radharani at the exit. You know where you will be with all these piles of prasadam. Mm-hmm.
Yes, all this.
Except this, I'm very attached to this myself. No, I'm joking. No, it is reserved for it is reserved. So, Hare Krishna. So, good. And now I will turn the microphone to Prashanta, who will give us an important announcement also. Thank you very much all together. Hare Krishna. Jai Sri Hare.
Hi, Haribo.